There he is, Rosie the Rooster, waking up Arizona homeowners all across this great state, from Nogales to Page, from Nutrioso to Ehrenberg. Hey, you tuned in to Rosie on the House, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts, where they've got it's not just donuts, they've got 5 breakfast choices, all under $200. Give them a shot, give them a try. If you're not drinking Dunkin', you're not drinking the best coffee you can buy. It's Rosie on the House. We're here with our car staff and special guests to answer any question you might have about your house, home, castle, or cabin. As always, in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll be in the garden. This is the conclusion of a series we've been doing. It's called I Hate My House. So this is I Hate My House Part 2. It's Part 2. We'll be talking about how to pick that contractor later on in the show. Very secret trade tips on how to avoid picking the wrong contractor. But right now, we've got a lot of questions I know about frost damage all over the great state of Arizona. We've brought special guests in to cover that topic. You can call in now with your question. The number is 1-888-767-4348. We've got operators standing by to take your call.
With John J. Harper of Harper's Nursery, as always, and we're also joined by arborist and owner of Integrity Tree Service, John Eisenhower. If you receive the Rosie on the House or the Harper's Weekly newsletter, or even John's weekly, maybe more monthly, I'm not sure. It was all about the tree damage, and you can drive around just about anywhere, and it one in every how many trees? Half, a third, seem to be fried and toasted. So we're going to be talking about the strategy on regaining that.
Yeah, some of the newer neighborhoods, it's way more than half. You know, there's neighborhoods where ficus or sisus are the predominant tree in the whole neighborhood. And I was coming back around on the 202 way out in the East Valley yesterday, and I don't remember exactly where it was, but there's a whole neighborhood. I don't think there was a green tree in the whole neighborhood. It just was all sisus. Now, the one good thing about sisus is they're already coming back, some of those little popping buds and stuff. But, you know, there's a lot of people that are about, what, the third time in 6 years, John, that this has happened. So, you know, things like ficus and pygmy palms and that there's some folks that might be just kind of have had enough.
Yeah, when we got that frost in 2007, they said, well, we probably won't get another one for another 20 years. And then in 2011, we got another deep frost. And then this one this year just seems to take the cake. So, yeah, a lot of people are getting frustrated.
And it is, you know, we've been telling people for a month, don't do anything. Wait till about the 15th of February. And other than isolated, like where Romy lives, in a few really cold areas, this is about the safe date now that we are past our average frost date. So
I found the guy that's got the answers to all of this. Remember talking about the house that was built down the street from me?
Uh-huh.
Metal roof.
Yep.
All masonry. Not a single piece of wood exposed at all.
Steel plants, too.
He put steel plants.
Yeah,
he put steel prickly pear and steel Ocotillion. This guy has got it figured. I'm going to have the courage one day to go knock on his door because this is a man I got to get to know. All metal landscaping.
May not smell as good as when those blooms, those peach blooms. I will tell you, my peach trees are blooming, and those are a gorgeous bloom. A little purple, white. I mean, that's the first time we've had a peach tree bloom. That's becoming a favorite bloom of ours.
Oh, absolutely. That's the nice thing about planting. And this is a great time to plant deciduous fruit trees like peaches, apricots, plums. They're all pretty. Well, you've heard all about the cherry trees in Washington, D.C., right? Well,
oh, yeah.
You know, all fruit trees, generally, whether they're producing or a flowering variety, those are all very pretty flowering trees. The ornamental pears are blooming right now. They're a big white mass of flowers.
You like that they'll put on the bloom first, and then they'll put leaves on second. It's interesting.
Yeah, very, very pretty, and a good decorative addition to the landscape, as well as getting fruit, as well as they're not cold sensitive. So, and it's time to be pruning your fruit trees before they start blooming. So if you haven't pruned roses and you haven't pruned deciduous fruit trees, you should be pruning, should have been pruning those already. And, of course, frost damage now in most places in the valley. We're giving people the green light, the go-ahead.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you if you've got a question about your landscape, garden, or burnt trees. I have a question. We've been telling everyone, hold off, hold off, hold off. Every landscape maintenance truck I see has got a full truckload of dead leaves in the back. Now, I understand they've got a certain time to be at the house, you know, every month. They, you know, it would be hard to put a lot of it on hold to keep up with their monthly work.
Right.
Can't, and I don't know if some HOAs mandate that it's got to be out a certain time. They can't leave it at the street. What's the worst that could happen if someone has already had it completely, you know?
Well, of course, now they're probably okay because we're just going on statistics. Statistics say that most places in the valley are not going to get another hard freeze. Right. After the 15th of February. So,
Danger of doing the trees early is that there could be a subsequent frost after you've trimmed them back, and the freeze could go deeper into the plant. So we encourage you to leave all that dead foliage on so it provides a little bit of insulation if you have another freeze. But like Jay said, if we've already, you know, we're at the 15th of February now, so most of the valley areas are going to be warm enough, so we can go ahead and do the pruning now.
So they got away with it.
Yeah.
If that's and in all understanding and all, it's just like when we're telling people to wait till the 15th of October to overseed their winter lawns. Those guys start scalping probably the last week of September because they, you know, if you have 100 accounts, you can't get them all done on the 15th of October. And, you know, if you've got 100 accounts, you can't wait till the 15th of February maybe to get them all done at the right time. And there are also, you know, some HOAs in their best intentions force people to do things like pruning and overseeding and different things against their best judgment sometimes because they don't want the brown look in the whole neighborhood. That may or may not be the case. But my guess is it's more of a, hey, if we don't start now, it'll be May
before they're done.
So.
Well, my question is, now that we've got the green light to trim, what do we trim? How do you know where to stop? You're actually giving a class at the Desert Botanical Garden tomorrow. We think it's already full, but you teach at the Botanical Garden, John Eisenhower of Integrity Tree Service, on a regular basis. You teach for the city of Scottsdale. I know you're out all the time helping people, guide them on how to trim. Okay, the whole tree, to me, looks dead. How do I know what to and what not to trim?
Yeah, all the jacarandas and the orchid trees, they all look completely browned out. Jay mentioned the sisus are poor, you know, they're partly brown, but you can see the interior is still pretty green on those trees. Sometimes a tree will tell you what it needs to be trimmed by just looking at the foliage itself. If there's still some green foliage, that's a good indication that's probably still good wood. But what we do is we get up in the trees and we do what we call a scratch test. And you start at the smallest branches and twigs and you scratch with your fingernail or a pocket knife and see if the wood is green. If you scratch the bark off and you have a nice bright green color, of course, that's good wood. If it's brown or black tissue, then you need to go deeper into the tree to the next largest diameter branch, maybe half inch diameter, three quarter. Do a scratch test there and you keep working your way down into the plant until you can get some good wood. Once you found that transition area where there's still some green tissue, you need to cut back to there. And, of course, you take out all the old dead leaves because they're just going to be falling off in time anyway. So you can clean out all those dead leaves and hopefully get back to a nice structure, you know, deeper inside the tree that will still live and produce some foliage in the next few weeks.
Aside from looking ugly, let's just say I don't move as good as I used to or it's taller than I can reach and I don't feel like hiring someone out. What's the worst that could happen if someone just left a burnt tree and just left all the limbs in there and let it naturally fall out and clean itself out?
Well, if we have just a little bit of dieback on some of the tips of our larger trees, we recommend just leaving those because the new foliage will emerge and grow past those dead tips. Now, if that's 6 or 8 inches or a foot of dead growth, then you're good, you know, because that dead wood will be trapped inside the canopy of the tree as a new growth grows past it. So there's some issues there with cosmetic problems or trimming problems later. But it may not be worth the expense, is what I'm saying, to trim just the little tips off of a larger tree. That being said, if you do have some heavier dieback, and you let it go, the new growth will eventually emerge from the inside, but it's going to be harder and slower because there's no sun getting in there. And you know, if you do have that new growth emerging and you decide to take the dead wood out later, sometimes it's difficult not to damage the new juvenile growth that's emerging without, you know, destroying it as you're trying to cut the dead wood out. So we recommend doing it now, getting all the dead wood out, letting the new growth emerge without interruption, you know, without interference with the all that clutter of dead wood. Better to take it out soon.
And there are some cosmetic issues. If you can drive around now and see 2 years ago's freeze damage sticking out of stuff that then is frozen below it on a lot of big ficus trees, folks that didn't spend or couldn't afford to have them pruned back then.
We're in the garden with John J. Harper and John Eisenhower. If you've got a question, it's 1-888-767-4348. Coming back, we're going to start with Randy in Tucson.